Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. Frank Rush being joined this weekend by Tara and Mayor Duke Bennett. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Not bad.
Good.
So good to have you in here. And we got a short amount of time to preview 2019 for Terre Haute. And quite honestly, for folks in the outlying areas, and I'm sure you realize this, kind of the way Terre Haute goes, a lot of the surrounding cities and counties go too. It's kind of like Terre Haute's kind of the leader of the surrounding area, the Wabash Valley.
We are, and they all recognize that, and we want them to be successful too. It's just kind of that West Central Indiana, as one county, you know, gets a business or something positive happens, we all benefit from that really. So we try not to be competitive in that sense, but support each other. And when Terre Haute does well, it really has that ripple effect.
Do you guys ever get together and kind of have like a little local mayor's coffee clatch, so to speak?
Or? Well, it's a little bit bigger group than that where the mayors participate, but we're really trying to utilize a variety of resources, especially in that economic development side of things. We've been helping and working with some trails to connect counties together, and you're going to hear some things about that in the future, and just really trying to attack things on that. When we're recruiting businesses and things, we want them to see the whole area because, you know, people may live in other counties, or maybe this business ends up in Sullivan or Vermilion or Park or Clay, wherever it might be, and they're going to have to draw employees from Terre Haute. So either way it works, that collaboration helps make people feel like we're working together and we're trying to do this team effort, and it's a positive thing.
Every day there's a lot of folks that actually drive from surrounding counties to Vigo and vice versa.
Yes, we have a lot of people that it works both ways. When you find a job that you like, you're willing to make that trek. And, you know, really we need more people around here. That's kind of the problem we're facing right now, is we've got open jobs and there's just not enough people in this region to fill them. And so, you know, maybe at some point people are driving here from more than, you know, one or two counties away. But I think that's kind of the direction things are going, is we've got to get more people trained, workforce trained, and be ready to take some of these jobs.
When this airs, we're actually recording it a few days before a committee at the State House meets on Wednesday this week, and it'll actually air a few days afterwards. So we can't predict what's happening in the future, but the casino is kind of the big thing that everybody's talking about. Some folks love the idea, some folks hate it. Mm-hmm. You know, either way, if it actually gets through, there'll be a referendum.
Yes.
Where everybody will get a chance to say so. Even if it gets through the State House, that doesn't mean that it's a done deal yet.
No, it just means we would have the opportunity then. And so I keep pushing that referendum. I want to make sure it stays in there. That way, you know, there hasn't been as much pushback as I thought there might have been for the casino. Yes, there's people that don't want that, and I completely understand. But the positive response has been very good. And so let's just let the people vote. And, you know, and everybody in Vigo County can say, do we want a casino or are we not? And if they say yes, then we move forward. If they say no, then we, you know, go back to the drawing board for another project or something to diversify our economy. Because that's what this is all about to me, is having another option for people to have some fun, but it's also an economic development opportunity.
Actually, as far as the casino goes, besides just issuing a license, which is the state, and kind of watching over the surrounding area, which would be the city and county, the government really doesn't have anything to do with it.
Nope. This is a private business that will come in and buy, you know, a piece of ground. And other than, as you said, the state has to give them their license, then all we do is reap the benefits of the taxes they pay, because it doesn't cost us a dime. I've had several people ask me about pieces of this. They said, well, why would the city pay Evansville money a year or French Lick money a year? They thought it was coming out of our pocket. Yeah. And I just think some of that's kind of confusing because it's not been really clear yet. And so it won't cost the taxpayers a dime to have this facility come to our community. We'll get revenue back out of it. And so it's a win-win for a variety of parts of our community.
And unlike every other business that comes to the area, there's no tax incentive.
Nothing.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, but every business that has come to town or opened up a shop of any size over the past, I don't know how many years, has wanted something, either city tax abatement, county tax abatement, in almost every case.
All the big ones have.
Yeah. I mean,
because they know that anywhere they go, they're going to be offered those incentives. So that's just kind of a standard part of the process. So here you have a couple of Indiana businessmen who want to invest in a community, And of course they can't, and they know they can't ask for that, but we wouldn't offer that anyway. And so they're going to come in and make their own investment here, and the taxpayers won't have anything on the hook.
Is there a guaranteed take for the city out of this? I know there's everything's still up in the air, but
it's roughly about $5 million right now that we would be new revenue to the city of Terre Haute. But then there's, you know, food and beverage tax and local option income taxes, property taxes, business personal property taxes. There'll be a variety of things they'll pay back into the system.
Now, granted, it's not approved yet. And even no matter what happens on Wednesday this week, there's still a lot of other things that has to happen before everything.
Yes.
You know, it won't die on Wednesday completely,
no.
But it certainly won't be approved on Wednesday either. So with that said, where's it going to go even if they do it?
Well, you know, a couple of years ago when Rising Sun wanted to, you know, expand their casino into Terre Haute,
right,
they wanted to be out in that 46 and 70 area because they were thinking we wanted to draw the Indianapolis crowd and we wanted to draw the Illinois crowd. The same holds true for this scenario with a casino owned by someone else. It really, the goal is to serve this market of West Central Indiana and into Illinois. And so the best place to have it is along the interstate somewhere.
Sure.
And in our case, at 46 and 70 makes the most sense.
And we just had that interchange out there redesigned,
yep,
and remade. So
it's really, that's kind of our growth area anyway. It would make sense. So we'll see. You know, once again, it'll be some private individuals purchasing, you know, land off of somebody else who we don't have any part of the say in where they put that.
With that said, I know you can't probably predict what's going on in the future, but maybe you've heard or whatever. Okay, say this all comes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Just a big, huge if. Man, I-70, what a mess. Just to be kind of blunt here,
uh-huh,
it needs work. And it can't hardly seem to handle the traffic that it's got. And it's either because the road's in bad shape or people don't know how to drive it. It's probably a combination of both. So
yeah.
with all that said, though, mm-hmm, are we even, I mean, and granted, even if they approve the casino and it gets the final go ahead, it's still a couple years out before,
yes,
they would get it done. So mm-hmm, are we looking at maybe trying to do something with the state to fix the interstate?
Well, fix is the first step, getting the potholes fixed and that,
yeah,
kind of a thing. But we need a third lane. There's no question about that. There needs to be three lanes, really all the way across the state on I-70. This stretch is the busiest part of I-70 from here to Indianapolis, but this is a major thoroughfare. I mean, it's the most utilized interstate in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And we need three lanes. I mean, it is a disaster out there. Every time I drive on I-70, I get, you know, startled several times because of semis
yeah,
who drift over into my lane. It seems like we're always, you guys are reporting accidents out there, horrible accidents. I mean, we need room to be able to maneuver out there. And the only way to do that is add that third lane. So it's in NDOT's longer range plan. I think they're going to do 65 from Indianapolis up to Lafayette first. That's probably what I'm hearing. But at some point, we'll be next in line to get that done. I think that will go a long way towards helping the traffic, you know, level it out a little bit, spread,
yeah,
it out. And we're pushing NDOT and the state of Indiana on that regularly to get it done.
I don't follow 65, but I don't hear about near the number of accidents on 65 they have here. But then again, they do have Purdue up there.
They do, and I think
has a certain amount of pull.
That there's a lot of vehicle traffic, but not as much truck traffic as what we see here on I-70 because this is the east-west,
yeah,
thoroughfare. And it's just, there is a lot of semis out there. It can be very dangerous. A
couple other quick things we need to touch on. First of all, and I'll ask about this because it's, what's the deal with the Y and the pool? Because the city, and let's clarify this for people who don't pay attention, and correct me if I'm wrong, the city owns, obviously, Fairbanks Park, which is where the Y is located, mm-hmm, or at least the building, anyway, no matter, mm-hmm, what goes in the building. So the city is responsible for that building and the pool, right?
Yeah, the building belongs to us. We're the landlord, yeah, and the Y is the tenant. They decided to close the pool for some financial reasons, you know, last year.
Running that pool is not cheap, by the way, for anybody that has any questions.
I mean, anybody who runs any kind of large pool will tell you that it is a significant financial expense.
Yeah.
It just is. Nature of the beast. In this case, they wanted to, they thought if they eliminated that large expense for them, the rest of the programming could flourish. And so they're making some financial progress there, yes. But we also need an indoor facility for the public to access, you know, obviously through a membership there. But there were a lot of people using that pool for therapy. And it really was surprising to me, the number. And so I've learned a lot about that over time. But we've been working with the board because they've just been reluctant to open the pool back up. They just really don't want anything to do with it. And we think it's important as a community to find a way to get it back open. So negotiations have been going on and off for the last months. And in the last couple of weeks, we've made some major progress on that, that we've actually got some things in writing we're considering now. And so I am very confident that in very, very near future, the next week or two, we should be able to have something we can report to the public on that.
So convention center, I guess, is everything in place or almost in place? I guess what, there's still some documents that need to be signed for financing and all that.
Yeah. Right? So we're ready to go bond it and to borrow the money to build it. And there's some approvals that have to be done by the city council and the county council and the convention and tourism board just to finalize the formal agreement on how we pay for this. There's nothing new about any of this. You know, it's been in our budget for 3 years and we've expended money out, you know, to this point for legal fees and design work and all that. And so there's no surprises about the amount that we've committed or anything like that. We just need to formalize the agreement so you can go borrow the money because the banks want to see your long-term commitment. So that's what's happening right now, and that'll get done over the next few weeks.
So when we go see something happen? I mean, because that's what everybody says. No, as far as everybody is concerned, nobody believes it's going to happen until they start seeing an inloader, you know, punching the ground down there.
Exactly.
So
I would suspect that construction will start in September. That's my guess right now based on everything. There's some utility agreements that we're putting in place. You got to move some utilities there, and they'll have to do some work before you actually start building the building. But I would suspect that late this summer, early fall, you'll see some significant activity
there. I realize it's way far out to really know for sure, but has there been any kind of interest when it gets built of folks wanting to do? Because everybody, and you know, you've heard it same as I have, well, who would want to come to Terre Haute for a convention? So, all right, fine. Well, yeah. So
yes, we've already had interest. You know, we get interest all the time. I mean, you can check with Convention Tourism Bureau and David Patterson. He will tell you that he gets calls weekly from people who want to bring smaller conventions to Terre Haute. They have no idea that we don't have space now. And a lot of them don't even know we're building a convention center. They just say, hey, we'd like to bring our group to Terre Haute in 2021 or something like that. And we say, there's nowhere to have it. I mean, there's nowhere where you can have a hotel and convention space co-located. And so, but then we tell them, but we are building a facility and you'll be able to do this down the road.
Yeah.
We just can't make those commitments yet until we get construction started and know when it'll be open. So I think people will be surprised at how many different things we're going to be able to bring to this facility. And I would say within 3 or 4 years, it's going to be really booming because, you know, they book out years in advance. So we can't get all the conventions the first year because it may take a few years to get them on their schedule, but it will happen.
So you've already planned to add on to it after it.
I don't know about that, but we'll maximize it before that happens. But I really feel like it's going to be a very highly utilized facility.
The city really has nothing at all to do or say about the jail. So I'm not
going
to
ask. That is correct.
So I'm not going to ask you about that, even though some people do, because it's kind of hard to just say. The only thing the city really had to say about the jail was when the city council decided not to change zoning for one site that was selected. Outside of that, the city really has nothing to say about it, right?
No, it's up to the county commissioners to determine where it's going to go. And if it's in the city limits, there may be a zoning issue, and that's really about it. There has been some discussion about having it on the government complex. But once again, I will tell you, and I've looked and talked to a variety of people, you can shoehorn it in there. You can make it work, but you got to build up. You're going to have to go up a little bit. You can't do the single level, one pod, or where you're adding on to it with pods. You need room for expansion. You also need room for some type of mental health or addictions facility co-located there. And so without a parking garage and building up, it just doesn't fit. Some have said, we'll buy the Thompson Honda property across the street and build a parking garage over there and have everybody walk over. It's the cost to do all of that, to build up and build a parking garage, will probably add $8 or $9 million to the project. Doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. And so, but I'm weighing in just like any other taxpayer. That's our role as a city. Because we don't have any part of the decision-making process.
I don't know, but I'm assuming if they go up, it's going to be more when it comes to employees, because they're going to have more personnel, whereas the pod system single level, they can do with fewer people. If they go up, they're going to have more.
Yeah. So you're able to look down over the, and so if you build up, it adds some, and the cost of construction is a little bit more expensive. It's not outrageous, but it does go up when you go up.
One other thing before we run out of time, and when we talk law enforcement, let's talk about what you do have something to say about, mm-hmm. and that's Terrell City Police.
Absolutely.
And new headquarters, and mm-hmm. we've heard about this now for a couple of years. But
yeah, well, we've kind of been, we had to put it on pause for a while, just wanted to make sure our finances were first on the list, and we worked all that out and sorted those issues out. So right now, as we speak, our attorneys are drafting our documents so we can bid this, the process we're going to follow to bid this out, whether we're going to lease to own, bond, or go directly to the bank. We're sorting through those issues right now. We'll have those resolved here in the coming weeks, and we will start construction this year. I can't tell you which month yet, but we will get construction started at our current location at 12th and Wabash, build right behind the existing facility, and then we'll tear down the building in front of it when we're finished.
Which the building in front of it really is a combination of, what, about three different buildings?
About four. And so it's in bad shape. It was never intended to be a long-term solution, and we need to get a new facility in place.
The one thing you do have every month is the mingle with the mayor. So mm-hmm. if you want to mingle... Yeah, it's been gaining in popularity. I know a lot more mm-hmm. folks seem to be showing up for that all the time.
Yeah, standing room only, people in the hallway, and so we're gonna have to make some changes there, I think, because everybody can't hear. And you know, it's just another opportunity to get out and really talk with the public in a more in-depth conversation about things versus little snippets that you might hear through the media. It really, people can get that. Okay, I see why you made that decision, or why it's taken so long, or I never thought about, you know, those factors involved. And those kind of opportunities really allow you to have a good conversation about local issues.
Usually have that about once a month. Grand Travers, the pie company there on 3rd Street, south mm-hmm. or in town. And, of course, if folks want to keep track of what's going on, they can watch you on Facebook too, right?
Yeah, we're trying to do more of that. You know, I know social media is a big deal. I'm not a huge fan of social media myself, but it's a necessary thing you do these days. And so we're doing more of that, trying to put some information out about events I attend and things, and do some Facebook Lives. And it's, you know, the more you interact with the public, the better. And so I love doing that, and I want to do that, but it gets challenging sometimes because there's so many different segments. Not everybody does Facebook. Not everybody watches the news. You know, not everybody comes to mingle with the mayor.
But everybody does listen to the radio.
All right. So, I'll give you that. So you just got to hit all those mediums, I guess, because to try to reach the most people you can, because as an elected official, you need to be accessible. And I've always strive to do that, and we'll continue to do that. I want people to feel comfortable talking to the mayor.
The Mingle with the Mayor event's coming up later in April. You can find out the exact date and time, because it may change a little bit.
We may change the time a little bit, because we're going to have to move into a bigger room there at Grand Traverse Pie Company. But we'll put it out there.
You can check that out on Facebook as well. And if you missed any part of our talk today, you can find that on any of our websites and listen to it there, download it, listen to it multiple times if you'd like. So,
yeah.
Mayor, thank you. Appreciate it.
You are welcome.
That's it for Focus on Community this weekend. We will see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.